Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien. I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen with Come Now, Don't Sulk. We're part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're very, very proud members of the Here Be Monsters studio, of which Gwendolyn Holden Berry is not only our producer and our sponsor, she is the founder of the Here Be Monsters studio, and she happens to be with us online tonight. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm floating along in my hunker downer position and hoping the world gets brighter and cleaner. And I was very happy for a couple of hours today. I did sort of a little Irish jig around the island in the middle of the kitchen, because today SCOTUS did something right for a change.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in 1 second. I agree with you. It was a miracle. I'm just flabbergasted. It was a miracle. I want to get to that in just a second, but I do want to get our business stuff out of the way. Folks, I am Sybil Brunchen. That is Gwendolyn Holden Berry, my producer and the founder of our sponsor, which is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word. Do find them on your iPad or your computer. They are the fragrant memories of our ancestors. They have a wonderful, wonderful list of products, dozens and dozens, scores of products involving your sense of smell, your sense of spirituality. I can't recommend them enough. Remember, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, daughtersofisis.com is our sponsor this week and every week. And we also are sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you. Our phone number tonight is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. You can call in and talk to Gwendolyn and me tonight if you'd like. Ask us questions or discuss our topic tonight, our topics. Gwendolyn, before we get anywhere farther, summer sort of is coming. I mean, here's the solstice. It's almost on us, which is where the sun is exactly overhead on the Tropic of Cancer. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the vernal equinox or the autumnal equinox. It's technically the longest day of the year in the northern hemisphere and the shortest day of the year in the southern hemisphere. The southern hemisphere, hello, Australia, is going through their winter right now. And we are about to celebrate our first day of summer. Do you have a fragrance at daughtersofisis.com that we should be looking for online? Is there something that you would recommend that we should be getting for summer with our online order?
I do. I actually do. My favorite blend, my favorite oil, and especially at solstice, or what we call Lissa in my crowd, is elderflower.
I love elderflower.
It's all about enchantments and pet protection. It's good for protecting your pets. It's an entry into the fairy realm and nature spirits, and it's a house blessing. And it's a wonderful scent to evoke the quality of the longest day of the year and the time of summer and sunshine. And you can have your fairy rings and gardens right out your back door or on your windowsill in your little flower pots. And this scent is something that lifts you up. It takes you into that. This is a time when, watching a few of those Hobbit movies or such, those wonderful, wonderful races of fairies and elves and dwarves and stuff. They're just evocative of the whole thing, but it's our elder oil, and you can find it in the witch oil section. It's under the Celts.
Can I ask you a question? Is elderflower related to elderberry wine, and is it related to the elderberry as well?
Yes. Yes, it is. In fact, there's a couple of little elderberries in my elder oil at the bottom of it.
Wonderful.
We
bought a bottle of elderberry extract, which we mix with juice, and we put a big tablespoon of it, and it was absolutely, it's wonderful. It's such a great thing to add to your health regimen, and I really, really love that.
Use elder extract, too, in my juicing. Elder and pomegranate and greens and beets and parsley and ginger and, I got a bullet.
I think you and I should actually try a little bit of elderberry essence in a piece of whiskey. As you taught me so eloquently, a piece of whiskey.
I
chuckled 10 times since you taught me that. Tell the home audience what that is. Tell them what the expression is.
It's let's have a piece of whiskey. That was what my mother would say, you know, when it was cocktail hour. And, of course, the sun's over the yard arm somewhere. Always.
But I love it. Let's have not a glass of whiskey or a shot of whiskey. Let's have a piece of whiskey. I love that. Love that.
I named my boat that.
You named your boat that. Piece of whiskey. Oh, I love that. That would be a cute name for a kitty. If I ever had a kitty again, I might do piece of whiskey, and I would do piece and then make it Irish. It would be O' whiskey. So there is a piece of whiskey. Oh, that's a lovely name. Oh, I love that you named it both that. That's so wonderful.
You know, you actually can take elder extract or elder essence, especially with the berries and the flowers that they make over in Europe, and you can pour it in. And there are, I think the French make an elder liqueur that's very nice.
And of course, in Arsenic and Old Lace, the two old sisters of Mortimer were poisoning all their gentlemen callers with elderberry wine. They were putting arsenic or strychnine or something in elderberry wine.
elderberry wine
is delicious, by the way.
It is. It is. It's a little heavy, but it's nice. You know, if you mix a little bit of that with a little bit of something fizzy, you know, like a decent champagne or something, that's also
like a
something.
Spritzer. Yeah, like some sort of spritzery thing. Lovely. That would be wonderful.
It'd make nice on the buffet table, you know.
Oh, well. All right. So anyway, boys and girls, you can call in, ask us questions, talk to us, chat to us about elderberry wine, strychnine, arsenic and old lace, or SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, actually did something right despite Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and Alito. And they actually voted for LGBTQ rights today, which is truly a miracle, an absolute miracle. I was flabbergasted.
It shows you there are really some very excellent things happening right now, despite all of this. Look at how many people globally are getting woke up right now. And, you know, enough is enough. There's a huge shift of awareness, of consciousness going on a global level. And even though we are the country of the bad boys in the moment, the light, the spark came right out of America to light that lamp up. And that you can't deny. And you have to walk with all these wonderful people who are doing their best to be socially distant. And there's very few protesters in any marches that don't have masks on. And they're doing an extraordinary job of getting out there and putting it all on the line, too, to say enough is enough. We've had enough. And things are changing.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I'm going to say the old Jewish expression, from your lips to God's ears. It, you know, for everything that goes backwards with these idiots getting into fist fights in stores when they're being told to put on masks, you know, and they you're encroaching on my rights and you're not allowed to do that because I don't have to wear a mask since my president, my vice president don't wear a mask. I don't have to wear a mask. because that's what they are. They're just incoherent apes. And oh, by the way, apes are actually more appealing than some of these people that are, you know, not wearing masks, are gathering in crowds, going on drunken binges at block parties, etc. For everything we see like that on the internet or on the 6 o'clock news or whatever,
or next
every
door.
Once in a while, or next door, we also see things that are miraculous, like SCOTUS, the rest of the Supreme Court judges saying, no, this will not stand. We are not going to tolerate this kind of intolerance anymore. We're going to be intolerant of intolerance. And that is where we hope indeed that the world only spins forward. Ultimately, it does not spin backward. It basically spins forward. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm so glad that children today are growing up with a gay uncle or a lesbian aunt in the family who's out, and that they don't have to ask, why did Aunt Sarah never get married? Or why does, you know, Uncle Quentin do people's hair and dances around to Barbara Streisand? You know, it's like we're growing up. We've got a generation of children who are saying, yeah, Uncle Quentin's gay. He's got a boyfriend. They live together, and that's his husband. And that is where the slow but steady erosion, the implacable, the merciless, the deadly erosion of bigotry and stupidity, it cannot hold. It is being eroded away even as the water of wisdom is dripping and running over it. It is washing it away. You know, the rainfall washes away the Himalayas. The rainfall of wisdom is washing away sad, flat-worlder, climate-denying, three-toothed hillbilly, red voter notions. It is just implacable. It's irresistible, and it is merciless. It will wash it away so that one generation, three generations from now, people are going to look back and say, a child who hasn't been born yet, a child born in 100 years will look back and say, did people really believe that? Did they really believe such sad things? Just as we look back and say, did people really believe you could sail off the edge of the earth? Oh, how sad. Oh, how pathetically, forlornly sad. And that's what's happening. High school kids are going to the prom with their own gender if they choose to. Just as 20 years ago, white kids went to the prom with a black kid. Now, gay kids are going to the prom. These sad, and I emphasize the word sad, forlorn, bigoted notions and prejudices are disappearing gradually, bit by bit, and it cannot be resisted. It is absolutely going to happen, and it is happening in front of our very eyes. Our very eyes. Clarence Thomas is a sad holdover. Alito, sad holdover. Yes, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, it's just amazing how the fights are breaking out and people are just letting go and saying what they think today. My friend Tracy is quite a Twitter maven. And she said, oh, Gwen, you're going to love this. You know, I used to pick up Ron Perlman when I was driving a cab in West Palm. I'd pick up Ron Perlman at the airport and take him into his place in Palm Beach.
Wow. Uh-huh.
He's a nice guy. He's really, you know, you love him anyways, but he really is truly a nice guy. He's a real mensch, too. Offered the lady a cigar. I loved him. I just loved him. But he got into it today with the Republicans, including Ted Cruz, and you wouldn't believe the shit he threw at them. Just right on the money. He went after them. And he called one of them, you should pardon the expression, listen, fuck boy. He went after him on everything. He called Ted Cruz out for, you know, I'll tell you what, Teddy boy, since mentioning Jim Jordan and wrestling is problematic, why don't we say fuck him and make it you and me? I'll give you back $50,000 to Black Lives Matter if you can keep all the taxpayer money you were thinking of spending. And then he goes after him and says, yeah, a lot to be said for a little guy who lets Donnie call his wife a dog and his father an assassin and now kisses his ass. Yo, can I get your autograph? He went after him and Jim Jordan. I mean, they all got into it. And he said, the hell with this. It's like Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin has been doing the same thing. He calls them right the hell out. And, of course, there's Robert De Niro. I mean, you know, he's actually doing time on MSNBC saying this, you can't go on. You know, Hollywood has jumped in with 2 feet on both the female and male side. You know where the lines are drawn.
Yeah. Whew. Well, I want to just mention one thing real quickly while we're on. You can find both Gwendolyn and myself on Facebook. We've got pages there, both for ourselves and for daughtersofisis.com and Sybil Brunchen. We've got the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild, which is a non-controversial page. It's just for joy and laughter and fun and recipes and cute photographs and everything. But you can find us all over the place, both of us. But I wanted to just emphasize that that we are both very, very vehement on the things that matter. We are both absolutely plugged in and invested in the improvement of the world and the improvement of the world for our next generation. But I want to emphasize that that we also – well, I don't know where I was going with that point because you just said something fabulous, and I got off on a tangent about Daughters of ISIS and the Lollipop Guild. I'm sorry. I'm getting questions posted on my laptop. What were you just saying, Gwendolyn, that was triggering that?
Oh, well, just that people are taking sides and standing up, and they're not backing off. There's a lot of interaction over social media, yeah, but you can – I mean, even I quit watching Bill Maher, but somebody said, you have to watch the last one. It was just outrageous. I mean, people are standing up and saying what they really think. There's no more
PC. That's what I was
getting. It's just,
You reminded me of what it was. Yeah. What was wrong with the last Bill Maher? Why aren't you watching Bill Maher?
Oh, he pisses me off too many times. I used to go.
He does?
He gets under my – as my dear friend Murphy says, he gets up my ass a mile sometimes. And I just I don't agree with him every time. But then he'll come out with a real hit the nail on the head. And you have to go, okay, Bill, you got that there. I was actually a year ahead of him at school. Went to the same school. Yeah.
Wow. What you did remind me of what it was that I was going to say. And that is that our technology, you know, it's good and bad. You know, we can figure out all sorts of ways that our technology is screwing up the world or making the world more difficult. One thing about the technology that is wonderful is that everyone's got a cell phone now. And if you're one of these idiots out on Staten Island or wherever you are, Buttpoke, Idaho, and you get into a fight in the store and you cough on someone as a weapon, I don't have to wear a mask. I'm going to cough on you. And you cough on someone, your face is everywhere. And what I love is, yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm all in favor of cruel and unusual punishments. I think that there's all sorts of things that are appropriate about the United States and great about the Constitution. But I don't think that cruel and unusual punishment is so bad. And cruel and unusual punishment starts with humiliating some stupid three-toothed hillbilly, like in that Astoria, Queens deli, who was told to put on a mask. She got aggressive and she went over and coughed on the woman that was saying that you could put on a mask and said, I have COVID and I'm giving it to you and that. This is as stupid as that, what's her name, Cooper, Amy Cooper or whatever her name was in the park, who tried to get Christian Cooper in trouble with the police when he asked her to please leash her dog. And now she's everywhere. And people are like, you know, she's lost her job. She lost her dog. She should be put in stocks in the middle of Central Park and have dog poop thrown at her for 2 days. It's like, tarred and feather. This is like these people who think that their rights preclude anyone else's rights are and use the Constitution of the and the Bill of Rights as a justification for their bigotry, their selfishness. They forget that they are a member of a community. You're absolutely right. You don't want to cover your mouth. You don't want to wear a mask. You don't want to get vaccinated. You don't want your children vaccinated. No problem. Go live up on the mountaintop away from people. You have no right to be a part of a community. Part of a community means that your rights also include the rights of other people around you. It can't just be your rights. That's called being a king. That's what the Constitution in this country revolted against. Just because you don't want to get vaccinated, you don't want to wear a mask, you don't want to do all the things that are part of being a community, means that means that you aren't interested in being an equal. You're not a king. And if you want to live like a king, then go live out in the middle of nowhere with your rotten children who are infected with measles and chicken pox, and you with your uncovered up face with COVID, and go live out there. By the way, when your children come down with chicken pox or you come down with COVID, good luck getting a doctor or a nurse or neighbors or anyone to help you, because you've taken yourself out of the community. Okay? Community. Same root as communist and commune, the same word in there. A group of people cooperating. Okay? If you're not interested, that's no problem. Get out. That's where we stand now. Your rights end at our noses and our lungs. Okay? So this whole nonsense of people saying, well, I have a right not to do that because I have a right to – no, you don't have a right. You don't have any right. Your rights are granted by the agreement of your neighbors and your fellow citizens.
That's right.
Your rights are granted by the Constitution of the Republic. People standing around you are part of that Constitution. You are not the king. And if you think you're a king, first of all, Jiggly, go look in the mirror. You're no king. You're just some fat, pimply loser from Staten Island. That's what you are. Okay, you're just some bitch wandering around Central Park trying to weaponize the police. You're just a self-centered, self-entitled piece of crap. That's what you are. You're king crap. So let's get the whole mask thing under control here. I'm getting sick and tired of these people making these scenes in McDonald's or delis or drugstores or wherever, and then they think they're going to get away with it. Thank God for cell phones. That cell phone thing is a knife that cuts both ways. And you are risking your reputation and your life by misbehaving where 10 cell phones can be turned on you and posted on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook and on the evening news nationally. You know? And I, boy, cruel and unusual punishment. Let's start. Let's give these people the forum they want. You want to cough on someone at a Walmart or in a Wegmans or something and think that you're going to do that to some sales clerk who's working in Wegmans? He asks you to put on a mask and you go over and cough on him and then say you have COVID just to make it like sadistic. I'm telling you, Gwendolyn, it's thank God I don't have a child, because if I was somewhere with a baby stroller and I was walking around and someone pulled that on me, there would be nothing left for the police to pick up. I can't believe that the woman that was coughed on in that deli in Astoria didn't break that woman's jaw. She should have roundhoused her and broken her jaw. the police should have picked up 13 teeth off the store floor, swept them up in a dustpan, and carried that woman out, you know, to the nearest emergency room and said, well, we can't save your teeth. You got a face like a jack-o'-lantern now. How dare you cough on that woman? And I'm telling you right now, this is where we've got to draw the line. And I'm hoping that more and more citizens are going to be active, as you said, more and more calling a spade, drawing the line, being aggressive on confronting injustice and bigotry. It's absolutely, in my opinion, it's a new renaissance. It's a new age of reason starting. And the Supreme Court turning its back on that orange bag of monkey pudding in the White House and voting in favor of LGBTQ rights. Oh my God. Oh my God. With Scalia dead and molding in a grave, moldering in his grave. I'm sure he wants to dig himself out, that old, you know, bigot. You know, to hear that the Supreme Court voted against bigotry. He must be absolutely roasting over that. You know, I never liked Scalia. I always thought he was a piece of crap. And, you know, Clarence Thomas, good heavens, it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable that any man, let alone an African-American man, would be engaged in so much bigotry himself when so many issues are at stake. Inconceivable. It's like the gays that vote for the log cabin Republicans. It's inconceivable. What are you people waiting for? For Trump to start up death trains to gas chambers, and then you'd finally be boo-hooing as you're led into concentration camps and showers because Mitch McConnell and his Fu Manchu's wife, you know, daughter of Fu Manchu, decided to exterminate all the gays once you were literally being led away, like Hitler's Germany in the 30s, but going into a gas chamber, you'd finally say, oh, I guess I shouldn't have voted the GOP ticket. Boo-hoo. Too late. Too
late. Can you
hear me? Yes.
Can you hear me, Mommy?
Do I hear you?
Knocked off. Yeah.
Oh, no, I could hear you.
I just got knocked off, had to call back in on the phone, and that's one thing I wanted you to remind everybody. We are in the penumbra of Mercury retrograde.
Oh, I didn't know
this
that.
One,
we are. Oh,
this, and it starts in a few days, and it is already a big old hole. I mean, it's
okay. All right. Well, then, apropos of that, I'll let Gwendolyn go into more detail. But Mercury in retrograde, it supposedly is when you should not be signing contracts for projects that you value, new business ventures. Try to hold off until Mercury goes direct again, if you believe in astrology. But there's also, and Gwendolyn, correct me if I'm wrong, there's also a benefit when Mercury goes in retrograde, because things that go, that were already going wrong, now correct me if I'm wrong here, things that were going wrong when Mercury goes into retrograde go right, because Mercury in retrograde reverses everything. So people always focus on Mercury going in retrograde and screwing up things that could be successful. But isn't it true that things that were not successful before Mercury went in retrograde suddenly go forward because Mercury is going in retrograde?
It can happen. It can happen, but this one is June 18th to July 12th. And remember, 2 weeks going in and 2 weeks coming out. There's always
–
there's communication problems. This is not a time to be signing new contracts. It's not a time to to make different plans all of a sudden on like career moves or any kind of other major events in life. But when things are going doubly wrong, you know, let's say a month before, there's every good chance that Mercury will have a positive effect and spin that
so
around.
So I was right.
Right.
So I was right. Things that are
happen.
Not going well reverse their direction as well, and they become better.
They can. Yeah. And
well, from your lips to God's ears.
cross your T's and dot your I's during a retrograde. Also remember that retrogrades also give us time, especially emotionally, to relax and recalculate and to regenerate. This is a time when we should hold our horses, take it easy, wait for it. But on the greater scope of world events and the motion of the ocean on the planet, it's always interesting to see what comes up during a Mercury retrograde, because invariably there's going to be double backs and redos and absolute bombs that drop, like the death bombs that are going to be laid on Tulsa and then Jacksonville by the president. You know, those are death bombs. These rallies, these conventions, they're death bombs. That's what he's doing. So it's not unusual that going into Mercury retrograde, we'd be hearing about these things, because frankly, I think by the time that Republican convention time comes around, there will be such a mad, you know, reaction. It'll be like New York, you know, in several other places in the country. Right now down here in West Palm Beach, there are two hospitals, major hospitals, that are full to capacity already with ICU. We are in trouble down here, and nobody's talking about it.
Apropos of that, as you know, I was out on Fire Island. I did a couple of my wonderful little tourettes for people.
Yeah.
And I did one from my garden, and I did one from the, you know, in Cherry Grove in the town on Fire Island. For those of you that don't know what Fire Island is, Google it, okay? And look at it. It's a strand of spaghetti, 37 miles long and about 150 yards wide at its widest, off the south shore of Long Island. It is not a pencil. First of all, it's not round. It's not even a pencil. It is literally a strand of spaghetti. It's like the barrier islands off the coast of North Carolina. It's a spit of sand, a long sandbar that stretches 37 miles long and is only 100 or 200 yards wide at its widest point. It has 17 separate little towns on it. There's almost no cars, no vehicles. It's all boardwalks. You walk from one town to the other. And the only real vehicles on there are either golf carts that have been turned into fire engine pumps, or work vehicles that take construction materials on the beach from one end of the island to the other. It's a very interesting, strange, magical place, and has been there for a long time. I was out there and I was speaking because there are a bunch of snowbirds or whatever they're called, sunbirds. And a lot of people go from Fire Island to Florida and then back again. They spend the winters in Florida and then they, you know, they come back up for the summer and live on Fire Island. I was talking to, apropos of Florida, I was talking to a couple of lesbians who were, and I shouldn't say lesbians because it's not important what they're sexual orientation is. I will say I was speaking to a couple of women on Fire Island who live in Florida and during the winter, and they came up and we were talking about the fact that we're wearing masks on Fire Island and everything. And they were going on and on about how much they resented, you know, having to wear masks and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, how is it down in Florida? And they immediately went into this denial thing. I was stunned. This denial thing about the spread of COVID, yes. And you're in Port St. Lucie, which is farther north than, I believe they're from Fort Lauderdale or Boca Raton, something along that coast. Anyway, they went on and on. They were denying that there was danger, that people were slipping. They were very defensive of your governor, DeSantis, and of course, by extension, Trump. And they went on and on and on about, no,
That's wild.
Oh, yeah. And this is the dirty secret. This is the dirty little secret about, well, first of all, New York, and secondly, Fire Island, and lastly, about the gay community. There are huge numbers of gays who are secret right-wing Republicans, ultra-conservative Republicans. And it's what I was joking about just a while ago, that they would not believe that they are hated by Judge Clarence Thomas, by Donald Trump, by, you know, Mike Pence, by Bitch McConnell. They will not believe it until they are being put into a gas chamber. It would literally have to be something that appalling for them to say, oh, I guess I was wrong. I guess these people aren't my pals. Okay? They vote Republican. What?
I have to tell you, the majority, and I know the Fort Lauderdale Wilton Manors crowd. I used to write for the Fountain Magazine, the women's magazine down there. I know most of the community over the years, and they're very not like that. But there is a certain contingency on both of the men's and the women's sides that, you know, with women I find this is terrible and I'm going to catch crap for this, but a lot of the golfers seem to be in that category. But I'm really kind of shocked, because if they're coming out of Lauderdale, they know how bad it was down there. They can't possibly have not known it and gone through it and safely went through it. And the other part about it is, if they're from further up the coast in my old neighborhood, Boca to Lake Worth, West Palm, it's in crisis. A week ago, they had riots from the protesters in Del Rey. It's really shook up. So what rock they lived under, I have no idea, but I'm shocked, especially within our community of people, that there is this kind of, but you're saying there is that crowd. It always shocked me.
There's old expressions about election politics. All politics is local. Ultimately, all politics is local. People say that. That's an old one. You know, national, schmational. It's mostly about voting for, you know, who your mayor is and who your local representative is and who your dog catcher is. Okay, we know that's not necessarily true or true at all or ever should have been true. People say they vote their wallet. Well, I stopped voting my wallet years ago when the Republicans made it clear that they didn't give a damn about the working class or even the middle class. If you're not on Wall Street and you're not a billionaire, they don't give a damn about you. And if you're not in those things and you're still voting Republican, you're a moron. Okay, you're a piece of horse crap, and you're a forlorn wannabe tag-along who believes in trickle-down economics. The trickle-down in trickle-down economics is the sound of the rich urinating on you. That's what trickle-down economics is. It's the rich urinating on you with no promise of you sharing in the shared wealth. This whole thing, what we have seen up here that is so startling, is that there are gays and lesbians who vote, quote unquote, their wallet. And as long as they still believe that Donald Trump is good, quote unquote, good for the whole economy, as opposed to just Wall Street or, you know, just the 1%, as long as they keep voting for him. And it's unimportant whether he and Pence and the rest of those people, McConnell, Cornyn, DeSantis, are gay haters. It's not important to them. They ignore it. They plug their ears. They don't want to hear that they are members of a party that would just as soon see them thrown into ovens alive and have no rights, no employment rights, no resident rights, no rights at all, no medical rights, nothing. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know about it. And it bleeds over into issues like COVID-19. They don't want to hear that you should not be whimsical about gathering socially or not wearing a mask, et cetera, et cetera. And these two women denied the latest news reports that the places in Florida that have been careless, the beaches, the various parts of DeSantis's state – that have been careless about social distancing and mask wearing and all of it, they denied that any of the numbers were beginning to climb. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to know. And they denied it to my face. And, of course, I just shrugged and said, oh, that's interesting. I wasn't going to engage them. I wasn't going to get into a knockdown fight on the boardwalk about, you know, because they think Donald Trump is the new Messiah. And they happen to be two lesbian women who would be the first to be thrown into an oven. In Germany, in 1930, they would be thrown into an oven.
I don't really get it because the stupidity, I mean, from the very beginning, the level of his speech just puts you right in a dumpster as far as intelligence and competence. Yeah, and competence.
Well,
but
first of all,
everybody from New York to Florida who's ever done business knows what kind of a chiseler Trump is. And, you know, for these two ladies are, and I use the term loosely, are very disconnected from reality, especially their community's reality. You know, the LGBTQ community down here have been part of the Black Lives Matter protests, too, especially the young community. And that's just, that's, you know, there's an old saying, darling, you don't shit where you eat.
Apropos of that, as you so well pointed out, we New Yorkers have known who he is for 50 years. We've known that he and his father are a couple of cheap, thuggy gangsters. They gold leaf their crappy furniture. Everything is gold plated. And back when he couldn't afford the gold plate, they would put Dutch metal, which is not really gold. It's cheap brass that's been hammered and made to look like gold leaf. There's nothing solid gold about Donald Trump at all. It's all leaf and plaster and spit and lint and dust bunnies glued together in his junta house there, you know, in Trump Tower, that triplex of junky Caribbean dictator banana republic junk furniture that is showy and crap. That is what he was. That's what he is. He's always been. His hair is exactly what he is, a strange, teased, dyed mass of steel wool and spit and snot, you know, wedged into some kind of hairdo. That's what he is. He's a bunch of lint and dust bunnies and bowel movement. And that's what that is, that whole thing. And it's incredible that the rest of the country would not listen to his hometown, because his hometown is made up of thousands of people, both here in New York and across the river in New Jersey and Atlantic City, who were screwed over by him and his gangster company on everything from painting and carpentry and plumbing. What?
Palm Beach, too. Palm Beach, he's been blackballed. He can't walk into the Sailfish Club. And the Everglades, I mean, you know, the Jews will have nothing to do with him. They, you know, openly have called him for 20 years down here, the big Ghana. You know, he's been known for who he has been everywhere. Everyone knows, and the only ones who have ponied up with him are the profiteers who feel that they might be under an
his fellow thugs,
protection.
His fellow gangsters, his profiteers, or sad, and I mean this really, and this is where I become a snob. Those sad, blue-collar, flat-worlder hillbillies with three teeth who think that somehow he's the American dream. He is not the American dream. He is the Andy Griffith, Lonesome Rhodes from A Face in a Crowd, that movie that they play on Turner Classic Movies. He's a shystery snake oil salesman that's all about flash and farts. It's nothing more. He's Lonesome Rhodes, so brilliantly acted by lovable Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith took a real risk by playing a character that monstrous. Oh, that monster character. And so brilliant. But Andy Griffith was so brave to take his wonderful talent and risk it playing an American nightmare. And that's what Donald Trump is. He's a nightmare. He's only a hero to the forlorn, uneducated, bigoted, white trash, crapola crowd. And of course, Wall Street. They consider him because they're collaborators. They're neo-fascist collaborators.
You do have a call. Would you like to look?
Oh, I do. Sure.
Okay. Area code 7, you're online.
Hi, caller.
Hello?
Who's this?
Hi.
Who is it?
This is Pamela.
Hi.
How I'm listening to your show.
Uh-huh. How are you?
It's wonderful. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Gwendolyn and I are laughing. We were laughing before we went on the air tonight about different things, and we're having a good time tonight. I guess we're both celebrating the fact that the Supreme Court came through miraculously, and that this is a blow for wisdom and maturity and circumspection during these last 3 weeks of lunacy. So, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And I'm listening to everything you're saying about that person. He's not even a person in the White House, but I have a word for him that I use.
Yeah.
And I call him a fucktard.
Well, actually, we're going to have to bleep that because we're not allowed to say that on Blog Talk Radio. So we've got to sort of issue warnings. But Gwendolyn herself lost her composure earlier and used the S word. I think she used SHIT at one point. So I think I'm trying to be better with my language too, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just, he's a nightmare. That's why years ago when he was first elected, I came up with huge jiggling bag of orange monkey pudding, which went international. I mean, there's Australians who quote that and say, oh, mommy, that's just so brilliant. A huge jiggling bag of orange monkey pudding. It's like, oh my God, you know exactly what that is and what it smells like and what it represents. What do you think? Listen, Pamela, what do you think the chances are, and this is something I want to talk to everybody about tonight, what do you think the chances are of him being reelected?
As sad as it sounds, there's been a shift now. So I'm hoping that before the shift happened, I was going to say, yes, he's going to get in. But now that everything that has gone on now, there's been a shift, and I don't see him getting it.
Okay, but, and I think I sense this in your tone of voice, so correct me if I'm wrong, I think you also, and I think you're a girl after my own heart, I think that you are not taking anything for granted, though. Because you said,
no,
I think there's been a shift, but you're not just coasting on that this is a sure thing at all, are you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Gwendolyn, are you choking there? Gwendolyn, are you okay?
I'm okay. I just didn't have any water or anything. I'm so sorry, Mommy.
That's all right. We were just worrying that you needed the Heimlich maneuver there in Port St. Lucie, or that someone was strangling you. I think that the thing that worries me right now on Facebook, especially, are all of these people posting Biden's 40 points ahead. If Trump ran today, he's down to 37% approval rating. All this stuff. It's the same stuff we got at the last election, and it's the same stuff we got in 2000 with Al Gore. I'm begging my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter friends to stop posting these things as if this is gospel. God forbid we have yet another election where on the morning after election night, we wake up and he's won again, because people just assumed that, well, he's got a lead and he's ahead and Biden's a, and oh, well, and oh,
everybody's not that. And the people that voting is a right. It is your right to vote. But I think people need to understand that, okay, you didn't vote for him because you didn't want him in. But when you didn't vote for him and you voted for the independent or somebody, you voted for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You did
not vote.
You didn't.
Not voting
at
all was a vote for him. Right.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So even if you voted for, like, say, there was an independent candidate and you said, well, I'm going to vote for the Green Party. That's fine. That's your right to do that. But when it comes down to this, there's pretty much two people that are going to be in the forefront, the Democrat and the Republican. And when you don't vote for one of those parties, you're voting for the other candidate that you don't want in.
Jill Stein.
So yeah, you
Gary
voted
Johnson.
For the Green.
Yes,
voted
Jill
for the
Stein,
Green Party,
Gary Johnson,
still...
and then the people that vote that wrote in Bernie Sanders' name. Everyone who voted in 2016 who did not vote for Hillary Clinton voted for Trump. And I love these people
exactly.
said, well, I just didn't vote because I didn't want either of them. It's like, you voted for Trump. Okay, next. Well, I voted for the
yeah.
Green Party because the Green Party did it. You voted for Trump. Next. Okay, well, I voted for Jill Stein. I voted for Gary Johnson. I wrote in Bernie Sanders' name. I wrote in my dog's name. You voted for Donald Trump because that's
pretty
who we woke up with.
That's what happened.
On Wednesday
yeah.
morning, that's who our hangover, our national nightmare hangover, when we were all kneeling in front of the toilet, vomiting over that night, over what happened, the national vomitorium over that next morning, that's what happened. If you did not vote for Hillary Clinton, you voted for Donald Trump. And the people who
right.
abstained from voting, the operative syllable in there is stain, stain. We were stuck with the stain of Donald Trump, who ruined the country over this last 4 years. The trillion-dollar
right.
deficit, the ruin of the national parks, the all of it. You voted for Donald Trump, and that's where we are yet again in 2020. If you don't get to the poll, I don't care whether you like Biden or not. I don't care that you wish Bernie Sanders was our candidate. I don't care what you think. If you don't vote, and if you don't vote at all, you voted for Donald Trump. And if you don't vote for Biden, you voted for Donald Trump. Whatever you do, you are voting for Donald Trump if you have not voted for Biden. We are stuck for another 4 years, which will be a catastrophe. A catastrophe.
It will be. It will be. I almost wish
and
that
I
we had the British
people.
Monarchy back.
And I beg you, they wouldn't have us. Pamela, they wouldn't have us.
I know.
Queen Elizabeth wouldn't have us. And I want people tonight, because one of our subjects tonight was to not – take anything for granted. If I catch one more person, one more of my Facebook friends, posting these idiots, well, Biden's ahead by 13 points, it's like I'm gonna unfriend them. I'm gonna unfriend people who continue to post. When my feed goes by, if I see, and I could name some names, because they pulled this with Hillary Clinton
oh, yeah.
4 years ago. They were like, well, Hillary's mm-hmm. way ahead. And I used to say, listen, Hillary Clinton's not taking anything for granted. Why are you taking her winning for granted? Hillary Clinton sat beside Al Gore in 2000, and sat with him and Tipper Gore and her husband and watched as those results came in and watched the next morning as Florida tipped the scales for George
yep.
Bush. They couldn't have believed
yeah.
it. And I'm telling you right now, you can hate Hillary Clinton's guts all you want, but one thing you can't say is that she's not stupid. You whatever you don't like about
oh,
her,
absolutely
you,
not.
No one can agree that she is stupid. And she sat there on election night, and she had not taken anything for granted. When she was getting ready to go to the Jacob Javits Center for that banquet, with all those hundreds mm-hmm. of people at the Jacob Javits Center for a victory dinner, and she saw it unfold, I wonder if inside or to her family she said, I begged people not to take things for granted. I was always scared. I always was afraid of the deplorables and the
right.
fact that they could elect him. We are both New Yorkers, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I promise you, boys and girls, she did not underestimate the neo-Nazi, three-toothed hillbilly, climate-denying, flat-worlding, religious right bigotry that supported Donald Trump in butt-poke Idaho and
yeah.
nose-pick Iowa. She knew they were out there, and she never underestimated that. And her idiot followers, my Facebook friends, who kept saying week after week, I kept saying, please, please don't keep posting this. Do not assume that her lead is big enough. Until she had a 75-point lead, you cannot rest because you never know what's going to happen. You never know. And it's the same this time around. In my opinion, it's even more risky this time around because
oh,
I don't think that I think that Joe Biden is not as strong a candidate as Hillary Clinton. And I think
not
that
enough.
Donald Trump's
not
toxicity. Yeah, and I think that Donald Trump's toxicity, his poisonous behavior, has galvanized his lunatic fringe. They are a bunch of savages dancing around their bonfires, shaking their pitchforks in the air. They're savages. They think what he's done over the last 4 years is paradise. They think his stance on politics, on NATO, on Mexican and El Salvadoran refugees, on women. What kind of people would vote for a man who says you grab a woman by her pussy and she lets you because you're a star? What kind of woman votes for that?
That's just disgusting.
What kind of lesbian votes for that?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't get over it. I have lesbian friends who voted for him. What lesbian would vote for a man and say, ah, you grab a woman by her pussy. She lets you because you're a star. Really? If he came to Cherry Grove and did it to one of them, well, he'd be murdered. Or
probably.
Maybe he wouldn't. But maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe they really are. Maybe they have definitely run drunk the Jim Jones, Jonestown grape Kool-Aid. Maybe they have drunk the Kool-Aid and they are zombies now, Trump zombies. that a lesbian would let him grab her by the pussy because, and she would let him because he's a star, blah, blah, blah. It's unbelievable to me. And I'm telling people listening tonight, do not, Pamela and Gwendolyn and I are saying to you, do not assume anything. Register and vote. Tell your friends to register and vote. Tell your beloved family members who care about you to register and vote. We cannot afford to lose or waste one vote this time around.
No, we can't.
That's one of the things that's being done with the protesters. There's a few of them out there that are registering voters at the same time.
Yes.
So
that's
a really good thing. And I think we should just sick Leah Delaria on their asses myself.
Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny. Listen, we're down to almost no time. We're out of time. Pamela, thank you for calling in tonight. You certainly stimulated the conversation. So we'll be back on Monday night. Will you call in next week? Give us a new bulletin,
okay?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, I live in Davenport, Florida.
Oh my God! There you go. Okay. Well, there you go. You're a neighbor.
We're all in the same boat in the open state here. Just keep your mask in your pocket.
How far is Davenport from Port St. Lucie? How far is it from Port St. Lucie?
Probably about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're upstate, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm central.
Are you on the other coast?
I'm between Tampa and Orlando.
She's in the I-4 area, which I've always considered Klan retirement area.
Yes,
oh,
it
dear.
Is.
Well, on that note, we will talk to you. We'll hope that you call in next week. Encourage your friends to please play safe and be safe and wear masks. And thank you for calling in tonight.
Bye-bye.
You have a good night. Thanks again. We're out of time. So I want to remind you all that this was Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Blog Talk radio network. And we are always on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. My producer every week is Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who was here, and she is the founder of DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. You can find me, Sybil Brunchen, on SybilSays.com and SybilBrunchen.com, my two websites, and on the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild page. Do check that out for happiness and joy. We are running out of time, so I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to my wonderful producer and muse, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn,
I'll see you
next Monday. I love you,
a
gazillion.
I love you. Be safe.
All right. I love you too. Be safe. And keep laughing, folks, and stay safe. We both love you, and we send you all our prayers for joy and health. Okay? Good night, everybody.